All right, guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled. I believe this is episode 43. We might have called last episode episode 43, but I think we're one off. We recorded one that we haven't released yet. I'm kind of holding it. Maybe I'll release it sometime midweek this week as a little bonus because we haven't been on for a while. How are you doing, Deborah?
I'm doing really well, and I just realized writing this down that episode 43 is occurring on the date 4/3.
Whoa.
So you planned it perfectly.
Synchro. Cool. I wonder what deeper meaning 43 has.
Let's look into it.
I know my friend John in Oakland really likes the number 43. Uh-huh. So yeah, what's going on? You just got back home yesterday.
Yep, we rolled in around, I don't know, 6:30 or so, had an uneventful drive, 10 point something hours, and dogs are happy to be home. It's always good to be home.
Yeah, I love going on vacation, but I love the feeling towards the end of the vacation of missing where I'm from, because that makes me feel like I'm in the right place, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember one time I went to New York City for like a week, and it was a rough trip, a lot of fun, but it was a pretty wild trip. And I remember getting back to Oakland, and I took the BART from, I think, San Francisco International Airport back to Oakland to MacArthur BART. And I had the girl that I was dating at the time come pick me up. And I remember getting off the BART station and it smelled good, you know, it smelled better than New York. So, how did you enjoy your trip up here to Portland?
It was awesome. It's always great. I mean, seeing you guys is the high point, and it's the whole reason for the season. It's intense. Where we were staying was intense because, I mean, my dog Cubby did fine, but my little dog Fiona doesn't do stairs anymore. So, and it had, you know, steps down into the living area and then steps back up into this area and steps back up to that area. So every time Fiona needed to make a move, she needed to, you know, cry and get somebody's attention. Yeah. And Avery's dog, who came to stay with us from Tacoma, Avery and her dog Steam thought the floor was like hot lava because it was shiny and kind of slippery, and some dogs don't take on to those kinds of walking surfaces. So she was like jumping from piece of furniture to piece of furniture. It was a little chaotic just with dogs, but it was great. It's great to be in a different place.
What did you think of Portland?
Well, I didn't get around a whole lot. I mean, we walked to different places. You know, driving here and there, I'm always struck by the tent cities. And maybe it's because Portland homeless are more organized than around here. They have, it seems like more, they've accumulated more.
Yeah, but I don't think you've been out and seen what's going on like in East Oakland.
I have, and that is, you're right, a huge, I was shocked when was this? I don't even know where I was coming from or why I was there, but it was daytime and I drove like around where the MacArthur, not the MacArthur Maze, but one of those over other junctions. And it was like a whole community. It was massive. And
yeah,
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the question is, but yeah, it's sad to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you feel, how was the feeling? Did you notice like a feeling of Portland compared to say San Francisco? Was there any difference?
Not really. I mean, just as many people were wearing masks there as here.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like, and
you're talking about like when you went downtown into restaurants and stuff like that.
Yeah, didn't really go downtown. I mean, we went to that one restaurant that one evening and, you know, parked right there. And I didn't notice. I mean, there weren't that many people out on the street. I don't know. You know, it wasn't that apparent to me.
Yeah, kind of the same. Yeah, it's. I think it's probably pretty similar downtown Portland to San Francisco.
Uh huh.
So.
And I haven't been to downtown San Francisco.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe since a year. I mean, that's hard to believe because I spend a lot of time in the city, you know, normally just here and there. But.
Yeah, I was listening to. There's a really good podcast called the Counterflow Podcast. It's kind of a libertarian podcast, but they had. This last week they had on Thaddeus Russell, who was one of my favorites from Renegade University. And then they had this guy, Tho Bishop, on, and he's from the Mises Institute and he lives in Florida.
What is the Mises Institute?
It's a libertarian, like an anarcho-capitalist think tank in Auburn, Alabama.
Wow.
So they're like kind of the style of libertarianism that I line up with the most. It's crazy because these guys are they call themselves anarchists and they're wearing bow ties and suits, and you know, they're like some of the, they're like all educated at like Ivy League colleges, and so it's cool that they have people like that that can like make anarchy seem like not, you know, a wild idea. But they had those two on together, and Thaddeus Russell lives in East Oakland, and this other guy, Tho Bishop, lives in Florida, and they just kind of went back, and Thaddeus Russell's pissed off, you know, and Tho Bishop's like talking about how he's about, after the podcast, he's going to go out to the movies and then to a dive bar with his wife, and like Thaddeus Russell's like drooling, you know, and they just like went back and forth on the differences between Florida in California and what's going to happen in the future. And they talked about Governor DeSantis versus like Gavin Newsom and the recall and stuff like that. So it was pretty good, a good talk. Yeah. What do you think? Have you paid attention to any of these COVID passport talks that have been coming up?
Well, you know, being away from home and not having TV or anything, I was even less exposed to what's going on in the news. I have seen, you know, bits and pieces about it, and I think it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, what's your understanding of what they're going to be?
You know, passports for travel, and I'm sure it's going to expand from there. You know,
it's not just for travel. It's to go to stores and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. That I hadn't heard. I knew it was for like events, like music.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
It's going to be to go into like the grocery store. So I've heard people saying it's happening for sure. More of the black pill type people. And then I've heard people saying that there's no way that it can get through all the layers of the courts and up through the Supreme Court. But I don't know. I don't really want to put my faith in any of that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What if it went through? What do you think people who don't want to get vaccinated should do?
God, they shouldn't have to do a damn thing.
Yeah, but that's not the reality.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, I mean, you shouldn't have to do a lot of things that we have to do already.
I guess identify yourselves to each other so you can, you know, several voices are going to be heard better than, you know, individual voices.
We just go like stand outside Safeway and go like, hey, let me in.
I don't know.
What do you think if I made for our first line of merch little gold stars of David that say unvaccinated on them, and we could all just, those of us that choose that way, just sew them onto our shirts.
Yeah, just like the Holocaust.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's been a whole bunch of stuff in the media of people comparing it to kind of Nazi policies that they first implemented before they shipped people to camps. And there's been a lot of people that are like, how dare you, you know, compare it to that. And then, but yeah, it's, I guess we're all just going to have, like Rick DeSantis said, he'll never allow it in his state. So, I mean, maybe I'm moving to Florida, you know, Texas, you know, you never know with Texas. I think Texas is kind of not as good as it seems. It's better than here, but I think Texas might turn into a blue state eventually.
One thing I have noticed in just my own little circle of people who know people who know people, a lot of Californians moving to Texas.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that they're voting the same exact way. They're like, oh, California sucks, I'm going to move to another state and vote the exact same way until it turns into this again, you know?
Right, right.
So another thing, another interesting point that I've been thinking about is, have you heard about all this like voter ID and all this stuff that's going on in Georgia?
Oh, well, I know there's a mess happening, but no, I haven't.
Yeah, they're comparing like voter ID, like all these laws that are, they're to make it so pretty much you have to show ID to vote. They're making up some other rules, like you can't bribe people at like in the waiting in line to vote with food and stuff like that. And like, and the DNC is going nuts. They're over it. They're, because it's going to affect their voting base. It's not going to let them get as many votes. And they're comparing it to saying, I think Joe Biden even has said it's worse than Jim Crow. So he's saying that having to show an ID to vote is worse than the Jim Crow laws of the, you know, of the.
I thought we already had to show an ID.
No, there's all sorts of stuff going on. But let me ask you a question. So voting, if having to show ID to vote is racist, you know, because Black people aren't capable of getting an ID, is their narrative. What does that say about COVID passports?
They're not going to get COVID passports.
But wouldn't COVID passports be racist too?
Yeah.
Do you think it's racist if someone goes into a liquor store to buy liquor and they get asked for ID? Is TSA racist? Or airlines?
Well, I mean, everybody.
Is the DMV racist for not allowing, not making it easier for BIPOC, AAPI, trans, deaf people to get IDs?
I don't know. I got to think about that.
Do you think that minorities know how to use the internet?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Why do you think Joe Biden thinks that it's harder for minorities to use the internet?
Because they don't have computers in all of their homes, perhaps.
That seems like a pretty racist thing to say. Why do you think Black people don't have computers in their homes?
Oh, because they don't have the disposable income, or
yeah. Are you saying that's what you think, or you're saying?
No, I'm saying that's what they think, and that is.
I mean, most Black, like, have you ever seen a Black person with a smartphone?
Every single, I mean, everybody's, yeah.
So if everybody's got a smartphone, you know, they can probably get an ID. Yeah, so that's what we like to call racism by low expectation. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And I hadn't really looked at it that way. I only was seeing it through the lens of, well, yeah, if it's harder for them, then that's not right. You know, that we should make it, you know, across the board is as easy for everybody, you know, but I wasn't picking apart the words and the meaning behind the words. And, yeah, it is. I see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, when you really start thinking about it like that, you know, and then you start realizing that, you know, all these government programs,
yeah,
if you take it that way, are a little racist, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, why do like wealthy elite liberals think that they know what's best for people that look differently than they do and maybe make a little bit less money? And if we go back and like start looking at the black family before the implementation of all these government programs, you know, for the most part, they were stronger two-parent households than the white population. And then when welfare was implemented, the only way that you could get on welfare was if there wasn't a man in the house. And from there, we see it just declining. There's something like, you know, I think it's like flipped, like the amount of African-American people who are born out of wedlock is like 70%, whereas before it was like 80% in wedlock with two parents, you know?
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, it's worth looking into. But yeah, in other news, I am finally the boss. After 10 years across two union trades, I've been an apprentice or an assistant mechanic since 2011. July 5th of 2011, I started in the Iron Workers Union. Did like 4.5 years there, was 2 weeks away from becoming a journeyman, and then got called by the Elevator Constructors Union. I jumped ship and started my apprenticeship all the way over again in July of 2015. And as of Thursday of last week, I'm the boss. I went out on my own job. So I am officially a union, International Union of Elevator Constructors mechanic. So feel free to congratulate me, send me emails.
Hey.
And also my wife, Emily, is opening a business. If anyone out there is looking for skincare products, and if you're in the Portland, Oregon area and would like treatments, get at me.
She's awesome.
She's the best.
That was one of the things that was on my to-do list, and I was determined, and she made it happen. Actually, I didn't have to do anything. She made it happen. And I received a facial, and she's very nurturing and lovely, and gives a fabulous facial, and I highly recommend. Just go check her out. It's really... She knows what she's doing. She's very professional, but warm and lovely. And I would highly recommend.
We're going to send a couple samples over to Lindsay from Rogueways.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, hopefully she likes it.
Yeah.
And we're about done with the intro, guys. Our guest is waiting. But remember when we talked to Lindsay and Dean and I asked you about your missing time incident? You said you didn't lose any time.
Yeah.
I think you're mistaken.
Okay,
and
well,
tomorrow Emily is going to come on probably. I'm going to get her to come on and talk to you about it. She says you're misremembering. She said you guys were gone for hours and hours and hours, and it was getting dark, and they were in the parking lot worried about you.
Uh-huh. That's definitely.
But let's save it for tomorrow.
Awesome. Good.
Yeah. And guys, sorry about the delay in podcasts and that we haven't been getting stuff out. It was just a little weird because Deborah was on vacation and one of our guests canceled. And I kind of lost track of everybody that sent emails. I know I got crypto emails and stuff like that. People wanting to know really, really complex crypto questions. Like I said, guys, I can't answer all the really complex crypto questions. I can help you get started. And I can tell you that I trust crypto because I don't really have another choice and I don't trust the American dollar. So Rianne, and I forget the other guy that texted or emailed me. I emailed him back. I didn't email Rianne back. Rianne wants to know a ton of stuff. I don't know. Maybe send me another email, Rianne, and I can point you in the right direction of people that can answer your questions. But I can't answer all your questions. I can help you get a wallet. And I can help you get started buying stuff. But guys, we're going to pause. Please send us more emails. And we've got an amazing schedule coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. And we are here with our returning champion, Micah Dank. How's it going, bro?
It's going, man. How are you guys doing, Deb? How are you doing?
Doing good.
We're doing really good. Deborah was just up in Portland visiting the last week. And
Oregon or Maine?
Oregon.
Okay.
And it's funny, everybody on the East Coast says Oregon.
Yeah.
And then actually in Oregon, ever since I was little, they still have them today. You can get like these bumper stickers that are like the font that the University of Oregon would have, but it says like Orygun. You see them on like VW hippie buses a lot. But you're here today and we're gonna start getting into some of the Illuminati hand signals. Deborah, right. Are you familiar with any of it?
Only just a little bit that we touched on with Micah when he was on last.
Yeah,
we were talking about the astrotheology and we kind of veered into a little bit of that also.
Yeah, gotcha. So I'm familiar a little bit with what they are, just from seeing Jay-Z and some weird occult stuff online.
Yes, okay, so it's that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, let's have you take it away, man. Anything you want to talk about, let's just go for it.
All right, so I want to tell you is that all these hand symbols that I'm going to show you today, okay, their origin all come from a positive place. And it has to, because evil was not created at first like that. Evil and the negativity and the maliciousness and the things you see all stem from free will on Earth, where you have a choice to be good or bad. Okay? But inherently, symbols like this, like this, like this, they stem from positive meanings because that's where they all come from. They've been perverted and inverted by mainstream society and, like you mentioned, like Jay-Z and things to that nature in order to mean something else. And it drives conspiracy people wild. But the reality is that when you see stuff like this, you're just supposed to ignore it because it really has no bearing on you. They're just signaling to one another that they're all part of this little club. And most of the celebrities that do these symbols, okay, most of the celebrities that actually do these symbols have no idea where they come from. So maybe they think it has a malicious intent, and they don't care, but it doesn't matter because the pure essence of it is normal. Like the swastika, for instance, you know where that goes back to?
Yeah. To Buddhism, right?
It goes back even further than that. Swastika is actually astrotheology.
Okay.
Okay. If you take a picture of the Big Dipper, you've seen the Big Dipper before, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Big Dipper, you take a picture of it on the solstices and the equinox, and you put those four pictures together, it forms a swastika.
Oh, wow.
That's where that comes from. It doesn't come from Buddhism. Buddhism has the original, they've adopted it, or Hinduism, I should say. Hinduism adopted it, and it became something of a positive thing until Hitler took it. And that's like one symbol that we're never going to get back, by the way.
Hitler flipped it, right?
Yeah, he reversed it.
Yeah.
So
he reversed it, yes.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what happens sometimes with people, is that... through malevolent intent, it doesn't take away from the original meaning, which is the star cluster, But what it does is it kind of ruins it for future people because they associate it with it for all eternity. Yes. Now, who knows? Because we're not that far removed from World War One. You know, we're really not. You know, it's like our grandparents' age.
It's 100 years ago.
It's 100 years ago. So we're not really that far removed. So maybe in another couple hundred years, it'll morph again.
Yeah.
But things like this one, where you see people doing this.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one?
I use that as a...
He's making the, for everybody listening, I'll describe the ones he's making. But guys, if you want to watch, we'll put this up on YouTube. We got a YouTube strike, so we're really, so we got our first feather in our cap. You know, we got a
video taken down. I want to hear about that. I want to hear about that.
But right now, Micah is making like the okay symbol.
Right. Now, remember, the origin of this symbol, what they're trying to say is what it used to say was that if you take your fingers, you can make the six, the six, and the six. Okay, and they say that's devil worshiping. However, so aside from this, when you talk about the devil worshiping 666, it's not the devil's number. It's the mark of the beast. It's the mark of man, 666. You know why? Because we're all carbon-based. It's six protons, six neutrons, six electrons, the sixth sign in the periodic table. So that's the 666.
Wow.
We're all carbon-based. That's where that comes from. Okay, but this okay side, and then remember when they tried to say that it was white power? They tried make that in the news.
That's what the guys on 4chan started that.
Can you believe that? Yeah, and then it took off.
Yeah, they just trolled everybody, and then CNN picked it up and was like, "That's the white power symbol," and people have lost their jobs and all sorts of stuff like that from it.
Nonsense.
I think
it's absolutely nonsense.
I think it was also isn't there like the reason that it means okay. Is because in I think it was like a scuba diving symbol also, like people that they would use underwater to let people know that they're okay.
Yes, that's one of them too. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But this, when you make the symbols like this, they come from a good place. If I invert it, I'm not even changing it. I'm just going like this. Okay.
Yeah.
You see this?
Uh-huh.
This is the lotus. This is the lotus position in meditation.
Right.
Okay, that's all this is. And then you just flip it, and then you get these symbols. Sometimes you'll see it over the eyes like this. This is a combination of this and this. Okay? But that's basically one of them.
Have you ever seen any hip-hop people or anybody doing covering the one eye?
Yes. I was going to go into...
Like Lisa Left Eye Lopez, Deborah?
Okay. Yes.
I mean,
remember Lisa Left Eye?
I do remember her. She's the one who passed, but yeah, I didn't
under some pretty fishy circumstances.
I think it was a car crash in Honduras or something.
Yeah,
right?
big car crash in Honduras where she'd been down there to learn about like holistic healing and stuff like that.
Yep. Well, it's like what they did to Dr. Sebi.
Yep. It's related to that, I think, pretty heavily.
Dr. Yes. Sebi? Who's Dr. Yeah. Sebi?
Oh. Dr. Sebi is this brilliant doctor. He was one of the ones that said for every illness, there's a plant. Dr. Sebi, actually, there was a rapper named Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, I know that name.
Who was killed because he was producing a documentary about Dr. Sebi. Now, Dr. Sebi went to jail. He went to court and he went to jail because he claimed that he cured HIV. And he went to a court case in, I think it was Manhattan, or it was one of the boroughs by me. And he actually proved in court that he did. But the reason that they had a problem with it is because he said he cured it. Okay, it was the phrasing of the terminology. But his court case, you can read about it. He proved that it could be cured. And he was the one who always talks about how phlegm is the root cause of all malaise and things of that level. He was a great guy.
I think he did a lot of stuff with cancer as well, right?
He did. He said cancer only lives in an acidic environment. In an alkaline environment, your body's natural pH is 7.4, give or take. 7 is the middle. So your body is naturally a little more basic than it is acidic. but it's people whose pH turns a little more acidic that cancer thrives in.
Okay.
Okay, so we're naturally a little right-leaning, because from 7 to 14 is basic. From 1 to 7 is acidic.
Got it.
And then the further on, further away you go from 7, the stronger it is.
So this is a tiny bit off topic, but it ties in, and I think it's interesting. I just read this morning about this 17-year-old girl who had learned how to do sutures when she was super young. She was interested in it for some reason, and she came up with using beet juice to dye the sutures, which uh-huh. when there's an infection present, pH changes and the color of the suture turns darker. So it will be.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, that's pretty fascinating, but yeah. So the pH, I never occurred to me that if there's an infection, your pH balance is off.
Have they killed her yet?
Not yet, but this just was today. So.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's a terrible thing to say. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Right. So Adam, you mentioned this one, right? Where they cover the eye like this.
Yeah. Covering one eye with your palm. Does it matter which eye it is? Do they do one eye? No,
it doesn't. It doesn't. Sometimes you'll see this, like with Little Nas X, you'll see the shoe like this across one eye. It's all about covering one eye. And they'll say, or the conspiracy theorists will say, that it goes back to the back of the dollar bill, the $1 bill, the pyramid with the all-seeing eye.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say that's the Illuminati keeping track of you. The rapper Prodigy rapped about the Illuminati. And he talked about it. But what this actually is it goes back to the Eye of Horus. Have you ever seen a depiction of the Eye of Horus?
Yeah, is that the Egyptian one?
And it's always in profile.
Yeah.
Correct. Now, here's the thing about the Eye of Horus. The Eye of Horus is shown as one eye like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like a ridge, like an eyebrow over there.
Right.
And what that represents is the pineal gland. See, when you sagittally cut a brain in half like this, and then you open it up like this, okay? So you see half the brain. Right there, you'll see the pineal gland. It looks like a pine cone. That's why it's called the pineal gland. That's where it gets the name from, the pine, okay? You'll see the pineal gland, and then the eyebrow ridge that you see above the eye, that's the corpus callosum. So they had functioning knowledge of the human brain and everything that the pineal gland did. What the pineal gland does is it releases, melatonin, for instance, when the sun goes down to help you fall asleep. But while you're sleeping, your pineal gland releases a chemical called DMT, which I'm sure everybody's heard of by now, dimethyltryptamine. And what it does is it helps you dream in REM sleep. What it basically is it's a portal to another dimension or to an alternate reality. That's where you go when you sleep. It's produced twice in your life. That's one time. And then the other time that DMT is produced in your life is as your body's shutting down when you're dying,
mm-hmm.
your body gets flooded with it. And that's where all these near-death experiences come from.
Yeah. And you can also smoke some stuff and induce.
You could smoke DMT. You could smoke DMT, although the latest trend is not to smoke it because that only lasts a couple minutes. The latest trend is to actually get an IV drip of it.
Oh, shit.
Jeez. You get an IV drip of it. And it's very calculated, but basically it keeps you in a consistent state. So you can attain this mind-blowing experience for forever, for hours.
Yeah.
And what do they use that for? I mean, is it used medicinally
experimental for now? They do. Okay. Part of it was used in MK Ultra.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with that, Deb. I do a whole thing on MK Ultra too.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a big long episode on it.
But some really people, you know how Michael Jackson used propofol to fall asleep and he had it like monitored and stuff? Some really people who have the means do it this way too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes you to higher dimensions. It takes you to higher dimensions, you know, where string theory talks about 11 dimensions. Okay. Basically, string theory says that at the Planck level, at the microscopic level, they have individual strings that vibrate. And the way that it vibrates and the frequency that it vibrates gives everything its touch, taste, color, texture, richness, hardness, all its properties. Okay. Now, string theory is just figuring that out now. But 5,000 years ago, we had Hermes. Trismegistus, who used to say that his third principle, the third principle of Hermes or the Emerald Tablets of Thoth, was that everything vibrates, nothing stays. So we've known about this for 5,000 years.
Yeah. Hey, Deborah, did you know at the Vatican, have you ever been to the Vatican, Deborah? Mm-hmm. They allowed people like you in there?
They did. I wasn't wearing my Star of David. Maybe yeah. That's why they let me in.
Yeah. He's
giving me crap right now.
I know. Yeah, I see that.
they have a big statue of a pine cone there.
Yep.
Wow.
They have two. Yeah. They have two. It's actually called their rose garden, so to speak, is called the Court of the Pine Cone.
Oh, wow.
And next to the two pine cones that you're talking about are two phoenixes. And what is the story of Phoenix but the story of Jesus? You know, yeah, Jesus
rising
is the
from
sun,
the ashes.
Rising from the ashes. He's on fire. He dies. And then he comes back to life.
Yeah.
It's the same story. So they knew this. The Pope's scepter has a pine cone on it. You go to Mexico, Quetzalcoatl has a pine cone on it. All the ancients knew about the pine cone and the pineal gland. This is where covering the eye right here comes in, because that's just representing the eye of Horus.
Okay.
So I've given you guys three so far, and they all come from positive places, despite the fact that they've been inverted and corrupted. But you can't take away the original intention from them.
So this originally was just a symbol of the inner whatever, you know, a different dimension, being able to see
right.
through.
Exactly.
And so now what do people intend it to mean?
Celebrities do this, and they intend it to mean the Illuminati, the all-seeing eye that watches over everything.
All right.
Got it.
I'm assuming that's a dog.
What, you hear something licking?
Yeah.
Can you hear that? It's my dog chewing on his toy. I can't believe you can hear him. Yeah.
Okay. So now, are you guys familiar? You want to explain this one, Adam?
It's the triangle made with two hands.
Right. It's the Jay-Z thing. Sometimes it's over the eye. That's when you combine two signs together. Just like when you're doing this, that's combining two signs together. This is supposed to be Roc Nation. This is an allegiance to Rockefeller Records or Rockefeller and the New World Order.
Rockefeller Records, Deborah, is a large, rap music label. And is it started by
Jay-Z.
Yeah, it's started by Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm. Why?
What are you familiar? Yeah?
Well, maybe I should hold this to the end. Why are all the rappers like trying to be Illuminati?
Because it's a big club.
Okay.
It's a big club, and it keeps you in fame and fortune as long as you play by their rules. Satanic, Masonic. And it's not even Satanic or Masonic. You know, I go into this too, is that that's been misled too. See, basically what you have to realize is that what you think you see and what you think you know, chances are it's usually the opposite. Okay? For example, hell on earth in astrology, hell is not a flaming inferno. Okay, that's where they say it's an inferno. First of all, just right off the bat, how do you sense pain in your body? What in your body senses pain?
Your brain.
It interprets pain, but what senses pain?
Your nerves.
Your nerve endings. Exactly. Your nerve endings. Okay. Now let me ask you a question. When you die, your body disappears and your soul remains. So you don't have any nerve endings to sense pain. So how can you burn the flaming lake of fire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's for starters. Number two, hell is not actually flaming inferno. In Italian, the word is inverno, and inverno means winter.
Winter.
Hell
yeah.
is actually cold. Hell is actually cold because the trees are bare. Nothing grows. The sun is not out. All the animals come out. It's dangerous. It's cold. People get sick. Viruses come around. Hell is on earth is cold. Hell is winter. That is hell. It's just been flipped. In fact, in Dante's book, The Divine Comedy. Okay, when have you guys read it?
No.
A bazillion years ago, the layers.
When you go to the bottom layer of hell, Satan is there, and Dante knew this, that hell was cold, because Satan is frozen up to his belly button in a lake of ice. He can't move. He's stuck in place. And he's chewing on Brutus, Cassius, and Judas. Okay? But he's in a lake of ice because his wings are flapping so hard that it's actually freezing everything over. So hell is cold. That's all hell is. But to go back to this symbol, okay, are you familiar with this symbol from Star Trek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, live long and prosper.
Can't do it though.
All right, it's pretty close. How about this one? Do you know that hand signal? That's called the shocker. Do you know about that one, Deborah? Yes.
I don't think I want to.
Okay.
I don't think
I'll
she
tell
does
you
either.
About it later.
Oh Lord. Oh God. how do I follow up from that? All right. Anyway, so you have this, and then you have this. Okay. When you connect this together and make the original hand symbol, this is the ancient Kohanim rabbi blessing on the congregation. It was called the benediction. Uh-huh. Okay, this is 2,000-year-old symbol that the Kohanim, Jewish rabbis, that they still do today, the specific Kohanim, this is a blessing on the congregation. This is the inversion perversion that Jay-Z has done. This is the blessing. So that's all it is it just blesses the congregation. It just purifies them.
Okay. Got it. What's next?
So you familiar with this one?
Yeah.
Well, the
horns.
Heavy metal.
Ronnie James
right.
Dio.
Well, you know, the heavy metal was... So this was actually started in heavy metal by the band Kiss.
I thought it was Dio that first did it.
I'm under the impression that it was Kiss because they had roadies that were gypsies and they used to do this symbol all the time. You ever see an old Italian lady do this?
Yeah.
It's just a protection symbol. It's not the devil horns.
Dio said he got it from his old like Italian grandma.
Yup. Exactly. See? Exactly. And that comes from, are you familiar with any of the mudras in
Happy Come?
Are you familiar with any of the mudras in Hindu?
No.
This is called the Apana Mudra, and it's for purification. And it purifies the individually physically from toxins, and it sheds negative energy that you might be holding. So that's all this does. This is actually a safe symbol. This is not devil horns. This is not anything of that effect. Okay, that has been co-opted and perverted.
Got it. What's the next one?
So have you seen pictures of you know who Baphomet is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have you seen
what you're gonna do?
Have you seen statues? Well, Baphomet, remember how I just told you hell is winter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you just combined the two signs from Dead of Winter, Capricorn and the goat, and the man in Aquarius. You just combine those two signs to make a goat head and a man body.
But doesn't Baphomet have breasts?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. That's the duality, the divine and the... That's the duality between male and female, too. But you'll always see Baphomet doing this.
Yeah, just like this. It's and like Jesus does it too.
Yup. Well, Jesus calls himself in Revelation 22:16. So Lucifer is known as the morning star. Let me start there. Lucifer is known as the morning star, and he's the light bringer. Okay? That's what Lucifer's name was. He was the light bringer. In Genesis 1:3, God says, let there be light. Well, how is there going to be light without the light bringer? So Lucifer is immediately mentioned in the Bible, if not by name, then by action. Oh. And then Lucifer falls. And then Lucifer is known as the light bearer. Why? Because he's Venus. Venus is the Venus is the light in the morning that shines above the sun to let you know the sun is coming. If you go outside in the middle of the night and you look, I mean, not in the middle of the night, in the morning as the sun's coming up and you look straight ahead, you could see Venus, which is the bright morning star. That's why Venus, that's why Lucifer is known as the morning star. But Jesus in John 22, 16 says, I am the root offspring of David and the bright morning star. So Jesus calls himself that. So they both do this symbol. This symbol right here is an ancient Kemetic peace sign. When I mean an ancient Egyptian peace sign, this is where it comes from. See, because the two fingers are together. That's togetherness. This that we think is the peace sign now
war.
Is actually the British victory war sign.
Yeah.
Okay. So this has been co-opted. So everybody that's doing this is doing a war sign. Yeah, this is like, the true peace sign.
They go like this. This is like the middle finger in England, Deborah.
Is that like, right?
Fuck you or piss off or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I see like this, pictures of old punk rockers, you know, going like that.
Yeah. This is the peace sign. So if you want to do a peace sign, you have to do this. That's why it's telling you. That's why Baphomet, Lucifer, Jesus, they all do the peace sign because they're all peaceful. That's what they mean. And that's where it comes at its heart.
I thought Baphomet was a demon.
I don't believe Baphomet is mentioned in the Bible.
Okay, where is, I mean, because
you start to see it. You start to see it in Satanism, in LaVey Satanism.
Uh-huh.
Eliphas Levi, who inverted the pentagram. And the pentagram is another symbol too, right? They take it to be evil. Well, remember how I just told you that Lucifer is Venus?
Yeah.
Okay, and Jesus is the sun. And then you have Mother Earth. Earth and the morning star Venus rotate around the sun. At 5 points during their rotation around the sun in a given year, they come close to touching.
Uh-huh.
They get very close. If you connect those if you connect those dots, that makes the pentagram.
Oh wow.
So that's where the pentagram comes from. Uh-huh. You know, it all fits together.
Got it.
It all fits together. And
I'm gonna let my dog out. Yeah. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm just gonna let him out so he stops making noise.
So everything's just been inverted.
Everything's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Because you can't take away the original intention. You know why? Because humans are good.
Yeah.
Humans are good. We have good intentions. We discover this stuff and we make good with it. And then it's the people who are evil with free will that corrupt it.
Yeah. Do you think everybody has both in us?
We do.
Yeah.
We do, but the majority of people just want to be left alone and just live good lives.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to be bombarded with things like the mainstream news and all the where they're telling you what to fear.
Yeah. How do you feel about the nature of man, Deborah? Good or bad?
Vulnerable.
I would say not vulnerable. I'd say impressionable.
Okay. Like, you know, I think we're born and we think we have everything we need. And then we see what he has and I want that. And then we see what they have and I want that.
So do you think evil people are that way because of nurture, not nature?
It's a combination. Some people are born.
Yeah, I think some people are just, they're going to wind up bad.
But it's through free will.
Yeah, we've seen throughout history, Deborah, people that have been traditionally kind, smart, educated, good people are capable of doing horrific things. You just have to go back, you know, to the 1940s in Germany to figure that out, you know?
Right.
And maybe even today, some of the people that are doing some of the most horrific things right now are doing it under the guise of I'm trying to help. I'm doing it to help everyone else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's this, I heard this story. I think it was like Hitler's secretary. She was like his personal friend and was still alive. And she said something like the best Nazis were just like you know, the smart, really nice German people, because they didn't question anything and they just went along to get along and yeah. did what they were told, because they were nice, good people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, something to think about.
Absolutely. I've got one more symbol.
Okay.
So far. You guys familiar with the upside down cross?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so is that satanic?
I know where it came from.
I'm listening.
I believe, I might get the name wrong, was it St. Peter said that he was going to be crucified, because that was like a common way to kill people or torture them to death back then. He said right. He wasn't worthy of dying the same way that Christ had on the cross. So he wanted it to be up. So they turned it upside down for him.
That's exactly it. That's exactly yeah. it. That's exactly where it comes from. So that's a symbol of love and modern day Satanists who really don't know what true Satanism really is.
Okay? I mean, most of them are just theater dorks that didn't have any other way to get chicks, you know?
Yeah. Well, there is that. There is that. Most Satanists are violently atheistic, believe it or not. Not violently, but they're just like militantly atheistic. And my contention with people is that people become atheists not because they don't see the signs pointing to a creator, or that we are all God. If God is infinite, if God is everything, then we can't be a part of it. We can't be away from it. We have to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
God is just a name for everything.
Yeah.
And most people don't see things that way. And because they reject religion, they run towards atheism.
Yeah.
And there's two people on earth that you can't have rational conversations with. And it's New Age Satanists, atheists, and flat earthers, because they get so violent in their definition of what they think is real, that they just become adamant and they just become impossible to deal with.
I'd argue that the people that you're trying to talk to flat earth about are the ones that get the most violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the flat earthers, but the
that's the one thing, if you try to talk to people about, they get irrationally mad. In my opinion. But yeah, so I like to all the talk about like the breaking down of spirituality and people becoming more atheist throughout the years, and the elimination of community that is based on your church or your religion. And I think that has a lot to do with what's going on today. So Deborah, if you don't believe in God, what people need something to believe in. What do you think replaces it? And what do you see happening right now? I'll tell you what I think in a second. You tell me what you think. Because it has to be replaced.
I don't know.
What do you see? What have we talked about? Scientism in the past?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this whole religion of the state. People are just, I mean, do you agree or disagree? Like, remember when we've seen all these politicians and Supreme Court justices die recently, and they're being deified as gods? Fauci is a modern day saint to people who don't have any other belief system.
I don't think I buy that.
What don't you buy about it?
That I think that religion to most people, and I'm just really coming at this broad in general, is a way to feel guided, a way to address their spirituality, a way to put boundaries on what they should and shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I'm not saying this.
Yeah,
well,
and if they don't have that, then who does all that for them?
I don't think the state does.
The government does it.
I don't think that people think of the state in the same way they would think of their spirituality.
So then why are people so easily by the masses, manipulated by a simple headline in the news. The news tells you what to think. They have an agenda. They tell you what to think. And then suddenly everybody has the same opinion because most people don't think for themselves. So really? I would agree with Adam on that. I would think that the state tells you what to do because you're too dumb to do it yourself. And we keep electing these morons that don't give a shit about us.
Yeah.
Well, that right? part I agree
am I right?
But I don't get how the state can fulfill a spiritual need that a lot of people seem to have. I don't see how that, I mean, okay, yeah, it can guide them. It can tell them, you know, what's right from wrong. And
you have to understand is that religion is the lowest form of spirituality on there. You will not get above your mid chakra.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mentally. If you take the Bible literally, it was never meant to be taken literally. Uh-huh. It was only taken literally after 325 AD when Constantine united everything under literal Christianity. Before then, Christians were known as Heliognostics. And if you break those words down, you have Helios in Greek, that means sun, and then Gnosis is worship, sun worshipers.
Uh-huh.
That's what they were. They were sun worshipers. And they all knew that.
Well, I think I'm thinking more of the spiritual and not the religious. And I could see maybe how, if you were only talking about religion, that the state could fulfill that need by telling
it's replacing what's right, it's replacing it because people don't have the community that they used to.
Correct. There are those out there that are spiritual that get it, that attain that level. You have to work hard for it to like get that knowledge, you know. It's kept hidden for a reason.
I do a bad job of getting a point across that it makes perfect sense in my brain. It's one of my main issues. And I think that's what's happening now. So I'm going to, after this episode, Deborah, I'll go back and formulate a better explanation for what I'm trying to say with some examples, and we'll talk about it in an upcoming episode.
Good.
And maybe do a whole episode on it if I can find someone that wants to talk about that. So guys, if you know anybody, give us some suggestions. So let's get into, do you want to give any more explanation of why this inversion took place?
It's just people don't realize where the signs come from. Okay. And they're basically plucked from obscurity or from the lost annals of time. And they're rebranded for something that just basically keeps the masses talking. Because you have the whole woke conspiracy community out there that just basically tracks how many celebrities do this, but it doesn't get them anywhere. They just keep seeing them do this, and then they run around in circles, not realizing where it comes from, not realizing that it's like a bag of bricks you could just set down and ignore.
Yeah. Well, and another question I have about it is, of the, you know, tons of people in pop culture that are doing all this stuff, how many of them do you think know what it actually means, and how many do you think are just being instructed or doing it because, you know, because Jay-Z does it?
99% of them don't know what it is.
Yeah.
99% of them just do it because they're told to.
Yeah.
I think like someone like Lady Gaga knows. I think Beyonce and Jay-Z know. I think Kanye may know, and that's kind of why he ran the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, it drove Justin Bieber to religion.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, that's what people do is when they see this devil stuff everywhere or what you think is devil stuff everywhere, they see all this evil and negativity. They run to the church because they think it'll save them. And then to keep the psyop alive, what usually happens is when these people escape to like the church, they let it go. They let them go. You know, they don't pursue them any further. That way it gives the illusion the church is a safe place and that's where you should go to repent your sins. It perpetuates everything. It's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like it might be what's going on. What do you think, Deborah?
Well, I just, it's like, all right, we all want to belong to something or feel a part of a group of whatever it is. And it's just, it's crazy to me that people would, I don't know. I mean, people always amaze me, and I'm flubbing my words. That you would pick up on a symbol that somebody uses incorrectly, and you just jump right in because you think that's a cool thing. Is that what?
Yeah.
What if?
Because if you do that symbol,
yeah, go ahead.
If you do that symbol, then you get to stay in the club.
Yeah, and what comes in the? What do you get with the club, Deborah?
You belong
drugs and money and bitches and all sorts of fame, stuff. Cars, fame, but it doesn't come for free. So
nope,
it might come at a price, you know.
Yep,
your soul.
Yeah, yeah, and we repeatedly see a lot of these, a lot of people in the limelight and celebrity kind of lose it, and you know, it doesn't look, you know. When I see like what's happening to Britney Spears, it makes me think that being a regular working stiff like myself isn't that all that bad, you know? Britney Spears probably wishes she could go to a job and fold shirts at the Gap or something right now, you know, and she's just gone way too deep, and there's no turning back for her.
So are there other groups other than like pop culture musicians that adopt all of this? I guess there are, huh?
It's all forms of, it's all different forms, to be honest. Entertainment, a lot of it. But the problem is people don't know where anything comes from. So they don't realize that they're already protected against it, because they have the original signs and the original symbols. And if people just took time to research it, then they'd realize they have nothing to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Well, what it's do you like think? Everything stems from a fear of death. Everything, religion, everything goes to answer those questions. But the way I see it, two things are going to happen. Number one, the first law of thermodynamics is that nothing, energy can't be created or destroyed. So your energy can't be destroyed upon death. It will go on to do something else. So either you continue as a soul and an entity going to learn other life lessons, or nothing happens. And if nothing happens, have you ever had surgery before, Adam?
Yeah, I had surgery last summer. I got my balls reattached.
Oh, fantastic.
I had a vasectomy and I got it reversed.
Ah, fantastic. Did they put you under for that?
Yeah.
So you were unconscious. They put you in anesthesia.
For like 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah, so they put you under, okay?
Yeah.
Now, do you have any memories from being under?
I went to sleep and woke up.
That's exactly. But you were sleeping. Or like when you're sleeping in bed, right? And you're in non-REM sleep where you're just there. Mm-hmm. Just with no thoughts, nothing. That's what it would feel like to be dead. You just have no feeling, no sensation. That's what anesthesia means. Anesthesia means without sensation.
Okay.
So when you die, it would be no different than that. Yeah. So either you continue as an entity or nothing happens. But either way, there's nothing to be scared about.
Yeah. I think it kind of gets back to what I was trying to explain to you earlier, Deborah. I think that like having no connection to anything spiritual, which I think has been, you know, implemented by design, the breakdown of people's spirituality into like atheism and deifying the state. I think there's a vast amount of the population that's terrified of dying. And we kind of talked about this on the Howdy Mikowski episode. Whereas if you had any sort of connection with anything spiritual, death isn't as terrifying as it is if you think it's just lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so like people being terrified of dying all the time because of what's told to them by the media and the news and everybody, and seeing people in masks and all this shit.
Well, in the news, you're seeing a pushback against religion now.
Yeah, against religion. Yeah, people don't want people to be religious. And I think that you know, makes people more like having people scared of dying makes this whole thing easier to perpetuate.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense, Deborah?
That does make sense.
Yeah. I'm not scared to die, and it's not because I've had a deep understanding of anything spiritual. It's because I've almost died so many times, and that I do a job where I've, you know, on the brink of death, like all day long, you know, for the past 10 years. Like, so I don't want to die. I've almost died when I thought that I was okay with it. And then I came out of that experience thinking, you know, I don't really want to die, but it wouldn't be the worst thing ever. And I'm glad I had that experience, because I was thinking at that time in my life, I knew that I was going to die in some way that was related to alcohol. And I came that close to it actually happening, and I was okay with that. I was like, that's just the way it's going to happen. And then I got so close to it that, you know, I walked away from it and said, I'm not ready to go yet. I gotta change some stuff, you know. And that's how I got to where I am today. So
there's a great book out there called A Lawyer Presents the Case for the Afterlife.
Yeah,
and it's written by a lawyer called Victor Zammit, and you can get the book on Amazon. It's a lawyer presenting a court case for the afterlife.
Yeah.
Okay. He presents it like a court case with facts and evidence and stories and proof, as opposed to belief. Just believe.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most dangerous things you could do, is just believe.
Yeah. Deborah, how do you feel about the afterlife, Deborah? Or are you an atheist? Unknown. Yeah, so you're an agnostic. You're not.
I'm an agnostic. Yes.
Kind of boring, but you know.
I believe I'm a spiritual person. I don't always act spiritually, but I believe I am a spiritual person, and I'm not looking forward to dying anytime soon, but. Everybody does it.
Yeah. Unless you're, you know, drinking a bunch of adrenochrome and, yep. Can live to be, I think people at the highest levels know that it's that there is an afterlife. And I think that's why all these evil, evil people seem so scared of death and want to keep it going through transhumanism and stuff, because I think they know where they're going when it ends.
It's reasonable. You see what they, I mean, adrenochrome, first of all, to demystify this, you can make it at home.
What is it?
It's harvested adrenaline from the pineal gland. From the adrenal gland.
You can harvest that?
That's the word on the street. Don't you remember in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas when they do it? He has it?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, so Hunter S. Thompson was writing about it.
Wow.
What were you saying, Micah?
No, I was just saying is that if you take an EpiPen.
Yeah.
And you put it like in a tanning bed.
Yeah.
And you turn it on for a few minutes so it oxidizes it, and you inject yourself with it. It's no different than real adrenochrome.
Wow. I wonder what do people say the effects of that are?
It's adrenaline. It's euphoria. It's, yeah.
I've seen a guy accidentally shoot himself up with one of those adrenaline pens.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be a wildland firefighter, and I was like up on the mountain fighting fires. And there was a bulldozer operator up there, and he had one, and he was like, oh, I wonder how hard you have to press this on your thigh. And then he was just like, whoops. and he had to go down the hill to like the medical tent. He got all, yeah, they had to like give him sedatives and stuff to calm him down.
Yeah, they give it to you in the military.
Really?
You think these people in like Kabul, you know, when they go on like 3-day missions, they have to go, they import these EpiPens.
Yeah.
And they just jab one another in order to keep going.
Yeah, like I've been in so many bad situations that my adrenal gland is just done.
Depleted. Like, yeah.
As I've gotten blood work done where they're just like, what did you, you know, have you been in prison or did you, you know, like grow up in a really violent household or something? And I'm just like, no, but I, you know, gotten some pretty gnarly situations for a bunch of years consecutively. And they're like, yeah, your adrenal gland doesn't work anymore. So yeah, I could see like guys that are having to go clear houses in Kabul, like, you know, having to artificially inject that stuff into them.
Mm-hmm. It's adrenal problem. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You have to oxidize it first though.
Yeah. I bet you, straight from the source is better than synthesized though. So
true. But do you see what these people look like who take it afterwards?
Yeah.
It damages you forever. You look like a ghoul.
Yeah. Your jaw's falling off like Nancy Pelosi. You look at like all these people from like all these old, I'm going to say Rothschilds, Deborah, I'm not being anti-Semitic. Okay. All these old people from the Rothschilds, all these people from the royal family and stuff that are like 102 years old and just look like Sir Jacob Rothschild. Look at that. Remember I showed you those pictures? Yeah. Deborah? Yeah. Like how creepy do those guys look?
Like Prince Philip.
Yeah. Is Prince Philip is the one that said that he wanted to come back as a virus. A
virus, yeah.
Have you ever heard that quote, Deborah?
No.
He said, if there's reincarnation, I want to come back as a virus too. Like, I don't know the exact quote.
He said, I want to take out as many people as I can.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God.
All right, guys. Fellow.
We're getting off into the weeds. I love talking about this stuff. I can go on forever. Let's call it here. And thank you so much for working around our schedule, Michael. We'd love to have you back on your next endeavor. What else? What do you have on the?
Did we do the Book of Enoch yet?
We have not done Book of Enoch. You asked me if I wanted to do it.
I'll leave it up to you. Either the Book of Enoch or the Enuma Elish. They're both very short reads.
Okay, I'll look into both of them, and we will get you back in here in a couple months to do it. Maybe. Okay?
Sounds good. Just reach out to me.
Okay. And they can find you on every conspiracy podcast that was ever invented over the past few months. And where else can they find you?
I don't know anybody who's done as many podcasts as I've done.
Yeah, you beat David Weiss maybe even.
Yeah, David Weiss makes his rounds too.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Micah Dank. My books are on Amazon, but if you reach out to me direct, I sell signed copies if you don't want to go through Bezos, which, believe it or not, a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. A lot of people really don't. A lot of people are like, no, I'd much rather give you the money. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to complain. I'll sign the books too. You know, I'll send signed autographed copies. I think I sent you a signed set, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Deb, I still owe you two books. Don't worry. Yeah. I haven't forgotten. You know what? Actually, come to think of it, Deb, book four came out too.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll send you one, two, and four. You have three, right?
I have three.
Okay. So I'll send you one, two, and four.
Perfect. Perfect. I'll get my address to you.
All right, guys.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Sorry about the long hiatus, guys. We got some real bangers coming up. We're going to hold Deborah's feet to the fire. We got some medical stuff coming up, and I think
try not to get banned by the next time I have to come on.
I know. I was gonna tell you, we got our first YouTube. We didn't get a strike, we got a warning. So I think you get a warning and then three strikes, and then they wouldn't let me post anything for a week. I think I'm out of the penalty box now. So yeah, we've got medical stuff coming up, so we're probably gonna get the axe, but we'll see how it goes, and we'll be even more legit in the conspiracy world if we get all the way kicked off of YouTube. But we're gonna look. We got some alt social media site people coming on also. So we got Erin from Float, and she's gonna talk to us about where we can put our stuff, I think. So guys, yeah, we're gonna be back Sunday. talking about Julian Assange. And Michael, once again, thank you so much for coming on. This was really
always
fun.
Always fascinating.
Thank you, Deb.
We'll talk to you guys soon, and we'll talk to Michael soon. So thanks, Deborah. Love you. Glad to see you in person. Have a great time. Guys. Have a good weekend, guys. Bye.
Bye.